And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He tapped into something himself as he's ministering to this entire body of believers in this city. He taps into this prophetic promise that God himself was linking them into unlimited supply. And it was out of their connection to bring in the gospel to the nations. I have something I need to read to you. I read it a few years ago, but I think it's worthwhile for today. The Pope goes to New York. He's picked up at the airport in a limousine. He looks at the beautiful limousine. He says to the driver, "You know, I hardly ever get to drive. Would you please let me drive?" The driver is understandably hesitant, and he says, "I'm sorry, but I don't think I'm supposed to do that." The Pope persists. He says, "Please." The driver finally lets up. "Oh, all right, I really can't say no to the Pope." So the Pope takes the wheel. He's enjoying himself out there on the freeway a little too much, attracting the attention of a highway patrol officer who pulls him over. The officer walks up to the window, asks him to roll it down. He sees it's the Pope. He's startled, surprised, runs back to his vehicle, and he calls the chief. He says, "Chief, I have a problem." "What sort of problem?" "Well, you see, I pulled over this guy for driving over the speed limit, but it's someone really important." "Important like the mayor?" "No, much more important than that." "Important like the governor?" "Way more important than that." "Like the president?" "No, more." "Who's more important than the president?" "Well, he's got the Pope driving for him, so it must be God." All right. I don't know who makes these up, but I like what they do with their life. We, every once in a while, we will have a service like this that is intensely focused on a Bethel project, a Bethel issue. And yet this is a place where we have guests constantly. We had 37 nations here this week that we know about, 37 nations represented this week. And so we have lots of guests always. We are so thrilled. So what I'm purposefully doing is taking something that has very real application for us at Bethel, but is useful to everybody who's in the room. I want to talk to you about God's way to blessing, to increase, to prosperity. I really think he wants it more than we do, according to Scripture, in this life. According to Scripture, it says that he is intended to do abundantly beyond and above all we could ask or think, beyond the greatest reach we would ever have in our life in faith, and beyond the greatest reach of our imagination. He wants to work beyond all of that. And it's very specifically in the area of blessing. I've told you before, I feel like the Lord disciplines us so his blessings don't kill us. His heart is to make us stable in character to handle the more. And I don't know any group of people on the planet that don't want more, except for many Christians. Because we've been taught that more is greed. And that's, I mean, it could be, but not necessarily. I'm concerned for anyone who doesn't hunger for more. Not hungering for more is not normal. We know when a child is sick because they don't eat. You can tell when a child isn't feeling well, they just begin to lose their appetite. You can go anywhere in the world. I've been back in the bush. I've been in the jungle settings, and everybody wants more. I'll never forget going with a friend of mine somewhere in Africa. I think it was Malawi. And we drove through this village, and he gave two teenage girls a pencil each, a pink pencil. And I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world to give to people. He wanted to have something to give to people. And when we drove away, I looked in the back window, and these two teenage girls are dancing, jumping up and down like they had just won the lottery, and they were given a pencil. Everybody wants more. But somehow religion robs us of appetite and calls it sanctification, robs us of appetite and calls it discipleship, and it's just simply not true. Jesus didn't kill the passion for greatness in the disciples. He redefined it so they could be entrusted with something that would promote them and not kill them. The appetite for more is essential. I don't think any believer that truly sees the cry of the world around us for help would not have an appetite for more. It's not about building, you know, it's not about building materialistic personal kingdoms. That's not it. I mean, I'm thankful he provides for us. I'm very grateful for what he does. He's gone way beyond what I could ever have asked for, you know, dreamt of. But the point is, he is looking for people that hunger for unusual, supernatural, significant breakthrough put into a context of a passionate person for souls, so that as the resources come, we actually have the wisdom and the grace to do what we've purposed in our heart to do. We actually get to shape the course of history through generosity. This is a huge thing for me. I'm sure I see it differently than many, but just at least consider my perspective. I believe that generosity, and this can be proven in Scripture, is one of the evidences of righteous living. It's one of the evidences of being in fellowship with the Lord. It's very normal. Everything that God has made gives. The leaves on the trees give oxygen. The sun gives heat and light. And everything just gives. It's how God made stuff. And you and I are the only ones with options. I'm going to read a passage in a moment that will underscore this, but please don't let anyone ever manipulate or coerce you into giving. I don't care if they're knocking on your door or it's me standing behind this. I will never do it intentionally, but it's very possible for you to misinterpret my zeal for giving as the tool of coercement to get you to do something. Don't ever pay attention to it. If you ever feel that, shut that thing down, because it's not good for you and it's not good for me. It's not good for us to somehow get manipulated into giving or guilt, shame into giving. It's not that. It is the absolute privilege to be able to send money out to war and shape the course of history. I've told you before, I consider myself a general in an army, and the dollars in my account are my soldiers, and I get to assign them to an eternal task. And I find great, great joy in doing this. Benny and I have, giving is just a huge part of our life. It has been since before we were married. And there's just three things that we do every single month, every single one of our paychecks, is that we are obviously the tithe, the offering to the local church. The local church has to be the home base where things are based from and exported from. So I'm a firm believer in local church. The tithe, I'll get to it in a moment. The missions, world missions, we support world missions all around the world. I have as long as I can remember. And then caring for the poor. I remember picking that up about 35 years ago. Just helping the poor every paycheck, every month, just sowing into the benevolence of feeding those without food, clothing those without clothing. And so for us, every single time when we receive income, that's where it goes. It goes into these places, because I remember about 35 years ago, I saw that Israel actually separated one out of every three tithes. They had three tithes. Many people, I'm going to make this more confusing than I need to. Let's just put it this way. Every 3 years, they threw in an extra 10%, and it was all to go to the poor. Interesting. So I thought, okay, I need to do something from the principle so that every month I'm doing something to take care of the homeless, the poor, the broken, the needy. And so we have a certain base amount that we start with. It's considerably more than a tithe. We begin there, and then we can give throughout the month, throughout the week, as we desire. But the point I want to make is that every person in this room has been positioned with something. Sometimes, honestly, generosity is a heart attitude. It means that when you go into the store, you smile at the person that's helping you. It means that you are free enough to compliment somebody else's hairstyle or the clothing that they have on. It just means that you're not focused in here on our personal world. It means that we actually think in terms of making a difference everywhere we go. And it's such an incredible privilege to do this. We don't have time today. I would love to spend, honestly, several weeks just on the generosity portion of life, because it changes everything about life. It changes how you see people. It changes how you see your resources. It changes how you see your time. Everything changes When you get this thing boiling up inside of you about generosity, I know the tithe is a touchy area in some circles. If it is here, let me step on it for you. If it's a tender spot, let me just kill that nerve, because it's not for me. The people will say the tithe came from the law. The tithe didn't come from the law. It came from Abraham, who was called the father of faith. Can you imagine doing something so significant in your relationship with God that your children pick it up, your descendants pick it up, and then God looks at it and says, it's such a great idea, I'm also going to put it in the law. And then Jesus comes along, Matthew 22, and he says this, referring to the tithe, you should do, but don't neglect the rest. So the concept that it's the law is just really silly. It's our rent payment for living on his planet, breathing his air. And you don't want to get evicted. I remember reading a story about scientists that said that it had no more need of God, you know. They could make man, they could do all this stuff. God says, well, let's have a man-making contest so they could create life. He said, let's have a man-making contest. He said, all right. So he says, God reaches over, picks up dirt, forms a man. The scientist reaches over, picks up dirt, and God says, no. Go get your own dirt. All right. I'm way off track, and we don't have that much time, so Bill, shut up. You don't realize how much I love talking about this stuff. And the reason, the Lord spoke to me in the night. He woke me up, I asked a question, and he spoke. And he said, the anointing for the day of the cancellation of debt is upon you. So we're going to end the service today by praying for this, because I feel like I've not been stewarding that anointing enough. I only do it occasionally. And I feel like, in fact, I had somebody this morning say that they were here before when I prayed this prayer. They went home. There was a $40,000 debt that was just canceled. They've had three different things happen in their times. So I just feel like the Lord wants to wholesale bring blessing into people's lives. But here's the deal. Position your heart to make a difference. That's all. The Lord will bless you whether you do it or not. I'm just saying, you know what? There's a day coming when what you've done for him on earth will be the only thing that matters to you. Seeing the effect of our decision. So I think I rambled enough to create a movement. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We've got two portions of scripture. I'm going to try to get to them both. And if I do, that'll be wonderful. And if I don't, that'll be wonderful too. Just not as wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are actually chapters that are used fairly often whenever the subject of giving is brought up. But we're going to go right to kind of the bonus round. That what I'm going to do today is we're going to take two verses, two sections of Scripture that are probably the most popular verses in the Bible, in the New Testament, about giving, about God's blessing in our lives. Certainly two of the most. But what I want to do today is, all I want to do is point out the context in which God spoke these extreme words of blessing over your life and mine. They were actually released in an unusual context that if you're not paying attention, you might not catch. And it's the context that sets us up for the reward. All right, you ready? Say yes. Yes, Bill, we're ready. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, don't do that. Or my brother would say, I don't care if you give angrily, just give. But not grudgingly or of necessity. I think New American Standard says of compulsion. In other words, don't ever come into a place where you feel others are pressuring you to give. Don't do that. Just shut that thing down. Get at peace with God. Find out what he wants you to do. Whether it's here or somewhere else. Don't just stay away from it, because it's not healthy. It's not a healthy place to give from. All right? For God loves a cheerful giver. Here's our big verse. And God is able, which is the root of of our blessing, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Why do you need to be blessed? So that you can address every opportunity to do a good work. Let me ask, just be honest with me. And this time, don't do the half-mass thing. Just be honest with me. How many of you have situations come up where somebody's in crisis, somebody's in need, or maybe it's a futuristic, a vision thing to sow into an opportunity, and you see these things, and you have nothing to give, and it frustrates you that you couldn't do something? How many of you have those kinds of things come up? All right. What he is saying here is he's talking about coming into a lifestyle where you always have something to give into those things that present themselves. Is there it? The Lord would actually do something in our life where somebody comes to you and you find out they have new shoes for the kids. Oh, hang on. I just happened to put a couple hundreds in my pocket this morning. And we take care of it. Somebody stands up here and says, Heidi's boat sank. You know, where they reach these islands where nobody has ever heard the name Jesus. They take the gospel there. They go through horrific weather and stuff, and their boat sank. And so we're buying them a new one. I told we, that means you and me. Now, I've done my part, and we have more to go. I'll talk about that next week. But we are buying her a boat. I've already promised her. Don't let me down. Don't make me a liar. All right. So something like comes up and you go, oh yeah, we have it in the checkbook and we write that check. The point is, every time something comes up that moves our heart, we're able to act. We're able to do something. Man, I love that. I love the thought of that. I'm closer to that than I've ever been. And it's such a thrill to walk through the office and somebody says it's their birthday and to be able to bless them just because it's their birthday. There was a time where you just gave them a hug. And that's good. That's good. It's just more fun to go beyond the hug and actually bless them with something. Am I making sense? That no matter what the need is when it comes, that you can at least do something to contribute. That's one of the goals of my life, is that I would never have something come my way that I would have to turn away from and just say, well, I'll pray that God blesses you. Does anybody else want that? That's kind of what we're looking at here. All right. So he says, an abundance for every good work. I love the word every. Verse 9, as it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Notice the connection of righteousness and generosity. Now may he, verse 10, may he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiplied seed you have sown, increase the fruits of your righteousness. I love that verse. It helped me a lot. I lived for a long time being very generous, and I always felt, you know how when you give something, there's a gratification, there's a sense of personal fulfillment. It doesn't matter if anybody knows or if you just did it in secret. There's that sense of fulfillment, like, man, I did it. You know, you just feel good in that moment that I got to be a part of an answer, part of a solution. But I didn't have that same joy over providing just for the simple things for my family. I mean, I always loved to do that. But one felt noble, the other felt natural. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. And here it says, God provides seed for sowing, that's generosity, and bread for eating, that's consuming. Both, one is as holy as the other. And when I realized that, it so helped me, because it meant that buying, you know, gifts for my children, my wife, food for the table, it didn't matter what it was as holy an act as was the mission support, which I thrive on. That God actually had a slot, a place for both, and I could do with both with equal conviction and joy and pleasure. I just don't like to live routine. I like to extract all the nutrients out of the moment that I can get, and to realize that God ordained I consume bread. He ordained me to be a consumer of what he provided for me, as well as a giver. I'm taking my boys hunting in a week. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, indeed. And through the years, I've bought each of them rifles. Now, if you don't like hunting, just pretend we're on a photographic safari. And we are shooting. Shooting lasting pictures. Engraved. You know what? How does the Father look at you enjoying what he provided for you? It can't be any less than my joy of seeing my kids enjoy what I'm able to do for them. There's no way I'm a better father. But I am inspired by him. And so when he provides the food to be consumed, he delights in your joy in what he's provided. So don't ever downgrade that thing, all right? I feel like I should have. Thank you. I just see the time disappearing and I've been rambling. I feel like today's a day where I'm going to talk about 100 different things. And when I go home, I'll feel good about all of them. It says, verse 11, while you're enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thankfulness through us to God. All right, while you're enriched for everything, all liberality, all generosity, it overflows in thankfulness to God. So think about this. Let's say that you provide for, let's just take Heidi's boat, for example. Heidi is already celebrating that I'm buying her a boat. Excuse me, that we are buying her a boat. She is already celebrating. You know, years ago, I told her I'd buy her a well-drilling rig, and I didn't know it, but she ordered it. So she came here on a particular week that we knew she was coming. I gave her the check. She said, oh, good, I ordered it already. She said, I've had others tell me they would buy a well-drilling rig, but they never did. I said, but when you told me, I knew you were a man of your word, so I ordered it. And so she's probably ordered the boat. So we got a little time, but so let's say we sow into this boat. What happens? Well, people will be saved. But what else happens? Heidi and an entire team of people that have the privilege of taking the gospel to these islands will be in continuous thankfulness for what we've provided. So the Lord receives honor through thanksgiving. He receives honor through the souls that are saved. He receives honor through people doing what they were born to do, going to lost tribes. Every gift has multiple effects. It's the joy of giving. Oh. All right, Philippians. Just go to Philippians 4, and I'll try to end this thing on a somewhat of a safe note. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, this is a verse that probably most of you know or are familiar with. Great passage. Verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you have claimed that verse before? My God will provide all your need according to his riches in glory. I mean, that's about as high a gold standard as you can get right there. His riches in glory, which is unlimited eternal. And that's the measure of provision for us. So let's think for a minute. The passage I showed you in Corinthians and the passage that is here in Philippians, both of them are, in fact, I'm sorry, forgive me, please. Let me give you a couple verses ahead of verse 19. That'll give us the context for this one. For verse 16, even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. That's amazing, isn't it? That giving could increase fruit in our eternal account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. What's the point? Both of these passages, Corinthians and Philippians, both of them gave promises to us that we delight in and enjoy about unlimited provision guaranteed by the Lord throughout our life. But both of them were connected to missionary giving. Paul was the missionary. They were supporting, going to people who have never heard the gospel. The Philippian church did that. The church at Corinth did that. And the whole context was the fact that they were supporting the work of the ministry that would go on around the world. And it was in that context. I don't know if this will make sense to you. Here's Paul. He's so filled with gratefulness because of the sacrifice of these people. And he's writing a letter. Now, I realize it became scripture. But just take it from his point, from his perspective. He's writing this letter. He is so thankful because he can actually tell this group, the church at Philippi, he can tell them, I'm full. I've lacked before, but right now I'm absolutely full. I'm filled with abundance, and it's because of you. He is so filled with gratefulness. And from that place of gratefulness comes these words. And my God will supply according to all your needs, according to his riches and glory. He tapped into something himself as he's ministering to this entire body of believers in this city. He taps into this prophetic promise that God himself was linking them into unlimited supply, and it was out of their connection to bring in the gospel to the nations. And whether you live here in Reading, you're part of Bethel, or you're part of another church in another country, one of the things we've noticed is the health of a church always increases when they go beyond the reach of their own local church. Yeah. It's said of the church in North America, I don't know what it's like in the other countries represented, but tragically, in North America, they say 95% of all the money that comes into the church in North America is spent on the church in North America. 95%. In other words, if $100,000 came in, the average is 95,000 of the 100 would go just for take care of us. And there is this thought, well, we'll reach to other countries when we've taken care of our own. Yeah, that may look good on paper. That's really stupid. That's really dumb. One of the great missionary statesmen, Jim Elliot, who died a martyr, he made this statement that rocks me. He says, the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. You can't give yourself to them without impacting us on the way. But if you don't give yourself to them, you'll never have all you need to do what you're called to do here. Does that make sense? God's economy is just different. It's just different. When I've given my tithe, I have 90% of my income left. That 90% is actually more effective because it's without a devourer. Right, right. The 100% comes with a devourer. Yep. It's like the person who loves God more than his wife. He's got more love for his wife when he puts God first. It's the way God's world works. It's just different, but it's right. So here we are, these two passages of scripture that promise us great abundance. And I have such a heart for Reading to be transformed. I believe deep in my soul, I feel like I've heard from the Lord that God is raising up Reading as a Geneva, a place of great creativity, great excellence. And I long for his blessing to fill every single life in this room, the abundant factor. I am so hungry for it. I dream about it. I pray it. I read it. I sing it. I declare it. I drive down the streets of our city with that confession. It's not about dollars. It's not about materialistic empires. It's about having something happen here that the nation would take note of, because it's not normal. In our history, we were called poverty flats, and yet God would change the nature of a city to where not only are they blessed, but they are contributors to cities and to nations all over the world. A benevolence movement that would stir up and be birthed here that would actually affect the course of history. I hunger for this. I long for this. But I know that pathway, there's decisions along the way, and one of those is, can we get on board to support people that live halfway around the world and help them as they minister the gospel in these various places? Here's what I long for. I want every person, pay attention closely, every person who considers Bethel home, our family nature, our family inheritance, our family gift is generosity to nations. That's who we are. And what that means for you is one less cup of Starbucks a month and you give $2.50 or a dollar. I don't care what it is. If that's all it is every month, just do something consistently that's not about you and not about us. Not about us. Something that we will actually have to wait till eternity to see the full effect. I encourage people to adopt a nation. That's just personally. Unfortunately, I have so many nations I've adopted now. Never mind. That's another issue. I have issues, but that's another one. So we've got these envelopes. It'd be really cool if you took just a moment to pray and ask the Lord what you should do, could do, should do. What could you believe him for? And if you need one of these missions envelopes, put a hand up because we've got ushers with as many as are needed. I know we have people online watching, and I just bless you. Please, in your local church, please do something. If it's your local rescue mission, which we have a great ministry in town that we support, our rescue mission here is outrageously wonderful. And they are doing an amazing job. I've never been more proud of that kind of ministry than what I see in our own city. And if that's what you want to sow into, my goodness, that is money well spent. It's changing lives. But the point I'm trying to make right now is we have a whole bunch of missionaries that we're supporting. And I would encourage you, make a commitment so that we can continue the support to these folks. Actually, we're going to continue whether you do it or not. It's just sometimes in years past, before you got so generous, we'd have to pull it out of our operations and cut down something else here. And that's why I've done life personally. I remember we have pretty substantial missions commitment every month. And I remember quite a few years ago, Weaverville days, the only way I could keep the missions commitment going was to sell my car because the payment was too high and one had to go. I couldn't keep them both going. And so we sold the car. It was just a no-brainer. When you find out what you were born for, nothing else is appealing. And when you find that this releases my purpose, my identity, my focus in life to shift the course of history for nations, you know what? There'll be other cars, but right now we're going to do this. And that's just the way we've done life. We've done it here as a church. There have been times where, in the years past especially, it hasn't come in. So we just take it out of our operation here. So the point I'm trying to illustrate to you, this is intensely a big deal on how we live life. So I encourage you, join with us on this one. If you can do the pledge thing right now, do it, because we're going to collect those envelopes. So do that right now. And then in just a moment here, we're going to pass the bags. I want you to, if you want to just give a one-time gift, that's cool. But we're going to pass the bags, and then I'm going to pray over the entire household for this cancellation of debt thing. And for those of you that have no debt, you know, get in on it to where he just increases the black, you know, take us out of the red into the black. I just want to see every household blessed. You know what? I have personal goals and dreams that I've got some people I would love to buy a house for. And I just am not going to be happy until I can do that. I keep meeting people, you know, they need a car. That car should have been buried a long time ago. And it's, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, come on, we just need the greater breakthrough. So that's where my heart beats. So do the missions thing with us. Join with us for supporting the gospel around the world. And make out your pledge card. Yeah, go ahead and pass the bags. Go ahead and do that now. Lord, we do pray for real insight on what we're to do. We love obedience. We love your will. It's so so gratifying to know that we've done what you've said. So I pray that there would be such a sense of peace and joy in all the giving here, that there would be no compulsion. Protect us from that, Lord, in our own hearts, and then help us to do what we do out of great faith. In Jesus' name. All right, before we end this, we're going to pray for that cancellation of debt thing. I'm excited about that one. All right, as soon as the bag has gone past you, stand up. Actually, I guess you could all stand up if you can multitask. Because last service, I dismissed everyone before we were through with the passing of bags. I blew it. I got so excited. I just lost track of stuff. We're going to pray. So assume prayer posture. And I'm going to pray. How many of you are honestly ready for this release anointing that destroys debt. I believe in this. I have seen this through the years. I've been reviewing some old words, and I saw this, and I kind of got convicted, to be honest with you, that here was this grace in my life that I've not been using much lately. And I thought, oh man, it wasn't given to me for me. It was given to me for us. Yeah. Yeah. Just put your hands in front of you. I won't have you hold hands again because we don't want to wear out that welcome. All right. Let's make agreement together. Yeah. The Lord actually spoke to me and he said, the anointing for the day. He spoke out loud. The anointing for the day of the cancellation of debt is upon you. It came at 5:55 in the morning, Minneapolis, Minnesota, in October of 2003. I know exactly when he spoke this word. So, Father, in response to your word, I ask that there would be something new released over this body of believers and unusual stories. Just fill us with the grace stories of how you take care of stuff. We invite you as our Father, Papa God, to come and to do what only you can do. Let it be said of this church family, including our guests, that every person is out of debt. Everyone who wants a home owns a home outright and is positioned to meet every good work. We pray these things for the honor of the name Jesus. Amen. 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 All right. Now, hold your places. Amen. Now, I've gone over. So what? Actually, we pay for it, so hold on, though. The most important part of the meeting is right now. I know in a crowd this size, there are always people here that don't know the Lord. Okay, please, I want to have no walking around for this moment because I don't want anyone distracted with what God is doing in people's lives. I know that in a crowd this size, there would be people here that don't know the Lord. You've never given your life to Jesus. You've never said, I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he died for me. I commit my life to him. Some of you have walked with him in times past and you haven't. And you'd just be one of those that would say, Bill, I don't want to leave here till I know I'm right with God. And if that's you, if you would say, Bill, I don't want to leave here till I know that I'm right with God, I'm at peace with God, then I want you to put your hand up right where you are. Guys in the center, just hold on just a second. Just wait just a moment, okay? All of you that would say, I don't want to leave here till I know I'm right with God. Put your hand up. Put your hand up in the air. I see one right here. There's another one right over here. Another one right here. Yep. Beautiful. Anybody else? Back over here. Ask the Lord.